Have you caught how an increasing number of elements of the world around us, which were assumed to be automatic, always going to be there, aren't any longer? Or if they do remain, they're drastically changed, and healthcare certainly no exception with this idea. The healthcare industry, all that's associated with it, has created challenging times for major hospitals, which over time in different ways has been addressed. Those same challenges are even greater for the smaller rural hospitals, to the point where many communities are at risk of losing their local immediate path to health care, if they haven't already. During the discussions last year over health care costs, Medicare, Medicaid, you might have caught what was, in fact, a bipartisan demand that rural hospitals receive the financial lifeline that they needed. Joining us now to explain what that lifeline has become and the ways it will benefit rural hospitals is the CEO of Government Market Strategies, Joanne Frederick. How are you today, Joanne?
I'm doing very well, Chris. Thank you for having me.
And learn more about Government Market Strategies, marketstrategiesonline.com. We do have that link at our homepage. It's called the Rural Health Transformation Program. Talk about what the details are, and this has already been a apply and be accepted. That part of it is over, so now we're into the execution program, which is even more important, obviously. But what are the goals? What are the goals of the Rural Health Transformation Program?
Absolutely. So to sort of level set everyone, it's a major new federal initiative, and it is about $50 billion over 5 years. And as you said, Chris, it's really designed to strengthen healthcare in rural communities across the country. It will be administered by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS, and every state, including New Jersey, has the opportunity to design its own strategy to improve access, workforce, and long-term sustainability, and this is one of the largest federal investments in rural health in decades.
Some important stats. 20% of the American population rely on what are classified as rural hospitals for their health care, but we've seen over the past 10 years 100 of these rural hospitals close, one-third in financial straits and at risk of closing. Their rural hospitals, we've seen them reduce inpatient services, becoming outpatient emergency care centers. And because of costs, the trying to keep up with technology for especially rural hospitals has been very challenging. What are the states obligated to do? How much is left to the hospitals to say, here's what's best for us to do?
Absolutely. So let's talk about New Jersey specifically. And when people think about New Jersey, they don't always think rural, but there are over 500,000 residents considered in rural communities in New Jersey, and that's about 6% of the state. And those communities face real challenges, fewer providers, workforce shortages, higher impact from substance use disorder, and less access to preventive care. And because of that, New Jersey stepped up in a big way and is looking for $1 billion over 5 years, with about $147 million starting in year one, which is this year. So even in a highly rural urban state, rural disparities are significant, and this kind of investment shows just how serious New Jersey is about addressing them. And to your specific question, Chris, what is New Jersey doing? Really looking at a balanced, practical approach, not just adding services, but rethinking how care is delivered and focusing on five key areas: workforce recruitment and retention, stabilizing hospitals, federally qualified health centers, and behavioral health providers, expanding care beyond facilities to include telehealth or mobile care and remote monitoring, investing in prevention and community health, and improving data use and chronic disease management across the state.
Mentioning New Jersey and staying in New Jersey, that's what we're based on if you're listening on the podcast instead of the radio. Something of a concern had happened and developed over the years. There was a small rural hospital in town Sussex, New Jersey, and the trend of networking hospitals together eventually found its way into New Jersey. Sussex Hospital was part of a networked situation, but then because it was financially underperforming, it became first an outpatient service, and then eventually now it's a totally empty building, empties to this day. How much is this program going to prevent what happened to that hospital in Sussex, New Jersey, from happening in places like Montana or the Dakotas, where rural hospitals are much more prevalent and certainly much more vital to offering full care as opposed to outpatient care?
That is a very complex question, Chris. I'll do my best. So this funding really, the state decides what to do with the funding. So it is up to each individual state to say, is our priority to stop these rural hospitals from closing, or is our priority to wrap around additional services in those areas that might take the place of those hospitals? The consolidation of hospital facilities and the investment in hospitals across the country will continue, and this rural health transformation program in and of itself can't really prevent for-profit entities from purchasing hospitals and then deciding that they're not performing and close them. So this grant and this, you know, $50 billion across the country, $1 billion for roughly each state, about $1 billion over 5 years, will be deployed in different ways. And I would encourage all of your listeners to engage with their local elected officials to talk about what should happen and how we really stabilize our rural healthcare facilities across the nation. The federal government will hand the money out. The states have the power to decide how to do it. But nowhere in this grant program is an ability to stop market forces and publicly traded companies from continuing to purchase and consolidate healthcare across the nation.
So Joanne Frederick, who is CEO of Government Market Strategies, marketstrategiesonline.com, talking about rural hospitals and a financial lifeline that they've received, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And it's important, isn't it, Joanne, for people to remember, and I say this about my industry too, radio, it's called radio business for a reason. Without the business side, there is no performance that's going to happen. The same with hospitals. It has to be understood that part of the practice, part of the machine is business. It has to make money to keep the lights on, keep the doors open, hire the staff. And business is an element. Financials are an element. Some people might arch their back at that, but this isn't, charity care is well and great, but a hospital of any size can't exist on offering up charity care.
Absolutely. You know, there's nothing inherently evil about making money and profiting. It's really the balance and how do we make sure we're taking care of people and also taking care of our businesses in every state across the nation.
If this program succeeds, I mean, this is a 10-year period. How much of a program like this winds up being ingrained into the healthcare process and the financial support that the federal government gives? You know, can this be a new version of a Medicare system that reimburses, you know, Medicare reimburses hospitals and doctors? Does this have the potential of being a new foundational program to help support and keep alive a healthcare system as fully and as strongly as possible?
So this is really a once-in-a-generation investment to improve rural healthcare. Will it turn into a new national program or even state-based program? Probably not. But what it can do and will do and should do and is designed to do is really prove out, pilot, and demonstrate how different approaches in different areas can actually be impactful and effective for the people on the ground. And that's really the import here. All 50 states are doing something slightly differently. All of them were approved by the federal government to receive this funding. And we have to remember that it is quite the cliche now, but healthcare is local. So what might work in Montana is not necessarily what will work in New Jersey, et cetera. And it really is inherent upon the healthcare leaders in the state, in each individual state, to say, what are our priorities? What do we need to protect? And then how can we use this money and invest this money in ways that not only help us today, but to your point, will set us up for success well into the future. And this program absolutely has the capability and possibility to do that, and we are very much looking forward to working with all the states to implement those projects.
Yeah, like I said back in the introduction, the rural hospital was becoming an endangered species because of changes in other aspects and areas of healthcare and healthcare providing. So with this program that is here, is active, and is looking to be as effective as possible, the Rural Health Transformation Program. And don't be afraid by that word transformation. A lot of people, I was looking at some analysis, and they were focusing on this word. Well, does that mean elimination? Well, that depends on what the individual hospital is doing, whether they're doing it well, whether this program can take what's lacking and build it, or does it have to be altered, or yeah, there will be elimination. If it's not being profitable, it's not being effective, not serving the local community, then why would one want to have it continue when it could be money, as they say, better spent and more effectively? You find out more. We're going to put the document from the federal government about the Rural Health Transformation on the downloads page. You can look up your specific state to see how the plan is going to be implemented and find out more about government market strategies, of which Joanne is the CEO of MarketStrategiesOnline.com. Joanne Frederick, thank you so much for helping us better understand. Change is always a time of anxiety, but more often than not, it could be a good thing, and this sounds like it is one of those times it's going to be a good thing. Thanks for being here today.